Can I just get a show of hands? How many people here like using instruction manuals when you're putting something together that you've bought? Can I have a show of hands? How many people love to use instructions? Okay. How many people think they're a waste of time? I can pretty much work out how to do this and probably quicker than what the instructions are going to tell me. Can I get a show of hands? Okay. I'm not asking you this morning whether you think that is the correct way. I'm just asking you that's what your default position is. Okay. So let me ask again. Your default position is, I don't need the instructions. I can work it out. Show of hands. Okay. Yeah. A few more hands. All right. So some time ago, well, let's just say the recurring theme of my life is that I look at instructions and I don't like the graphic designers that put them together. I think that's a terrible, terrible design job. That is unclear. That is not good to the eyes. That is confusing. A, B, C, D, E, F, G parts, all of that stuff. I don't get it. I don't need it. I see the picture on the box. I know how the thing needs to go together. I can work it out and we'll make adjustments along the way. And it gives you the opportunity to have your own creative, unique input on the thing, right? But the problem is when you do that, you end up in scenarios like me when I was trying to put the barbecue together on the back veranda. And our back veranda has, like most verandas, little gaps in the... And underneath, there's a large kind of area underneath. And as I was putting this whole thing together and kept just dropping the screws and the nuts through the gaps, you'd think I'd learn and put something down and just put them all on it. No. I just thought, I won't do that again. Three times that happened. And I had to go looking through bark for the bits and pieces underneath. Slow learner, right? So you'd think I'd learn from that. Then this week, our little boy Jacob, he recently turned two, and he'd got given a big plastic train set that, put the train on and it goes all around. You know what I'm talking about. And it's for little kids. And Teresa said, why don't you, on the day where you're looking after him, why don't you put that together for him? And I thought, that sounds like a nightmare to me. But wanting to be a good dad, I went, yeah, sure. We'd have a great experience doing that together, me and Jacob. Father-son thing to do. No, worst scenario ever. He doesn't want to, put this thing together. He just wants to throw pieces of track across the lounge room and things like that. So it was high-stress environment. And with the high-stress context, I thought to myself, I can see on the box what needs to happen here. How hard can this be? And I did have a look at the instructions thinking, conventional wisdom says, look at the instructions, get a basic idea. I looked at it and went, nah, I'll be right. So I started putting the thing together. Honestly, it's really difficult to put a kid's train set together. There were parts and pieces I'm going, I don't even see this in the picture. What is this all about? Anyway, I finally put this thing together and I had to explain when Teresa came home that day that I go, hey, look at the train set we put together. Now, the reason why there's parts of the road that just kind of go out into just nowhere and there's parts of the track that just don't fit is because it was a high-stress environment and I didn't have the ability to be able to read through the instructions while my little boy was throwing parts of this kit around the room. Now, I mention that because we needed to then start again and the next day Teresa was putting it together according to the instructions. And I realize that this is a great kind of metaphor or picture for our lives because this often happens in life. Sometimes we have to start again. Starting again, this is the first thought I want to share with you this morning, is often necessary. Would you agree? It's often scary starting again because you're thinking, is this just going to be the same? Am I going to make the same mistakes? Is the outcome of this starting again going to end up in a good place or a not so good place? But sometimes starting again is exciting. Now, depending on the context, the exciting aspect of starting again works a little bit like this. If you're like me and you're driven, you're excited by new projects and new things, starting again is exciting. And you just love to jump in and start again and have a go and go, we're going to do this thing. But as you get a little bit into it, you can get a little bit bored. And by the way, I'm not talking about marriage. You can get a little bit bored and you can think, and you're looking for a new project, something new. And I have had a little bit of a pioneering spirit in my life. I'm like, I love new things. I love new technology. I'm an early adopter. I love reading and I love to jump on, not that I can often do it, but like find out the latest, you know, that what's Apple going to release? What's the next thing? It's exciting. But here's the problem. If you're super excited about starting always, there can be danger in that and you must use caution. Now, there tends to be different types of personalities. Those who feel overwhelmed with starting again, who just think, oh, it's just too much. The idea of a fresh start, of exploring a new way to move ahead just feels overwhelming. I'd rather just sit where I am and just concentrate on the here and the now. And then there's other personalities who are just like, I haven't even finished off that last thing, but I cannot wait to get into this new thing. And so for both groups of people, over this series, we're going to talk about how God's wisdom can actually liberate us and lead us into a fruitful future. Now, the reason for starting again can be for various reasons. And when we're talking about starting again, you go, what are we actually talking about? Well, we're talking about lots of different areas in our life. There may be just one area in your life where you go, this area isn't working out, so there's going to need to be a starting again in this area. For another part of your life, it may be a major part of your life. It could be a relationship. It could be a career. It could be, a number of different things. It could be, you know, having a child even. And you've got to start afresh and you've got to start again. And you're like, it was years ago that we had a child and now we have a little person again and we have to learn how to do that whole thing all over again. Every now and again, people get little surprises in life, don't they? That they weren't expecting. And they're like, whoa, here come the sleepless nights. And you ask yourself, how are we going to do this? Now, the reason why you may need to start again could be as a result of your own actions. There are three things I want to mention here. You may need to start again because your own actions have created a scenario where something hasn't worked out, or it's failed, or you haven't followed the instructions, and as a result of your actions, you're either sowing into the wrong thing or your lack of sowing, you are now reaping a scenario or a situation in which you're going to need to start again. There may be then times in your life or areas in your life where you need to start again because of somebody else's actions. Somebody else has sowed something that has caused a result that actually causes damage or harm or a situation for you that means you're going to need to start again. Maybe you or someone that you know has experienced some kind of abuse in their life, has experienced some kind of oppression or been mistreated in a workplace, and as a result of their actions, that's causing you to have to start again somewhere. And the third area where we may need to start again is as a result of circumstances beyond anyone's control. For instance, there are circumstances that happen in our world, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, things that happen around about us that are beyond our control or anyone's fault. Sometimes it's sickness. And you've been a healthy, strong person, and you're like, man, I've followed all the rules. I've done everything, and for whatever reason, you've ended up getting sick and you just cannot work out why, and it's not anyone's fault, it's just what it is. But as a result of either your own actions, someone else's actions, or circumstances beyond yours or other people's actions, you are now faced with a situation or you're in a place in life where you will need to start again. The goal, as we talk about in this series, is going to be this: to ensure that the next time won't be like the last time. We want to make sure that we follow the principles and the wisdom and the guidance of God that enables us to be able to start again in a way that brings life, that brings joy, that honors God. And obviously, I'm not talking about, again, circumstances that come against us that are beyond our control. And this is why it's so important to say this at the beginning of this series. We should be very careful and we should follow the teaching of Jesus, who says, do not judge. Don't be quick to judge. Don't just look at someone else's circumstances and situation and go, well, you know why that's happening? That's because when they were 17, they lied, and this is the judgment of God finally catching up with them. Don't be the person who looks at someone else and goes, well, the reason why they're in that situation is because they've just spent all their money unwisely. Now, it's not that any of us can't discern or use our eyes and see how people's actions impact on them. It's just life has taught me that even when I think what I'm discerning or I'm seeing is correct, sometimes I realize there are other dynamics going on that I was not aware of. Have you ever looked at somebody else's life and thought, man, what a mess they are in? What a messy situation. And you thought to yourself, man, you need to get help. You need to get this sorted out. But somehow along the journey, you got to hear their story. And all of a sudden, because you heard their story of their upbringing or circumstances that nobody else knew about, it totally changes the way you feel about the place that they now find themselves in. And it's not that they don't need to start again or they may need help. It's just that the way that you approach them is through the eyes of grace and love that God always has for all of us. God is always saying today is a new day. His mercies are new every day. His compassion is overwhelming. His grace is like a flood that comes on dry ground, and you're so grateful for all of that water coming. And you're just like, oh, thank you. Thank you. So, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about a couple of assumptions today. Over the next three weeks ahead, we're actually going to talk about three big ideas that will actually liberate and help us establish convictions and principles in our life according to God's word that will help us in whatever area of our life where we need to start again, do so in a way that leads us into just freedom and grace and blessing and knowing that God is with us, that He is going to guide us and lead us on that road. But let me mention three assumptions as it relates to our own actions. So today, I just want you to be thinking about your own life, not somebody else's actions towards you and not circumstances beyond your control. I want you to think about, you know what, I've made some decisions like trying to put that train set together and I decided to not follow the instructions, and so I ended up with the train set looking the way it is that looks different to the picture. And now I'm in a situation where I need to do something about this. What am I going to do? How am I going to start again? And here's some of the assumptions that we bring to the table when we're talking about issues such as this. Assumption number one, experience makes me wiser. You ever heard someone say that? Experience makes me wiser. I'm going to say that's an assumption and even a myth. Experience doesn't necessarily make you wiser. What makes you wiser is reflective or evaluated experience. That's what makes you wiser. Some people say, I've got experience. And the reality is, no, you're just older. You have experienced lots of things, but the same things just keep happening over and over and over again. And just because you've experienced a lot doesn't automatically make you wiser. So that's the first assumption we need to be aware of. The second thing we need to be aware of, second assumption, is that because I know better, I'll do better. You know, it's like the education thing. It's like, I'm well educated in the area of finances, or I read 10 books on relationships before I got married. I know everything there is to know. And in Christian circles, we say things like, I love prayer. I've read so many books on prayer. And then you go, when do you pray? Like, and sometimes there's a massive gap between what we know and how we actually live our lives. Knowledge alone can't do anything, but wise action, implementing our knowledge with wise action, can be the game changer. And the third assumption, so the first one is experience makes me wiser, second is because I know better, I'll do better, and the third is time is against me. Time is against me. This is an assumption that actually leads lots of people to start again excitedly, but actually go on making the same old mistakes and repeating the same old thing. Now in a few minutes, I'll tell you a little bit about my story and why this is important. But here's the thing. Some people, when they've blown it or they've made a mess or something's happened. We crave so much a fresh start. And if we know the grace of God and we know that God is for us, we know that in any given moment, we can receive that, live in that, and then begin again. That's the good news. God is always for us. God wants to see us thriving, no pun intended, and flourishing and actually living the life that he wants us to live. And that's not that that's without suffering or pain, because you can flourish within suffering and pain. But what we're talking about here today is when we race ahead and we go, man, life's short, quick, I've got to do this thing. And we find ourselves creating more pain and drama in our life because we felt like time was against us. Now, something I want everyone to know here today is this. God is committed to you as you start again. God is committed to you as you start again. Whatever area it is in your life, if it's in the area of finances, if it's in the area of taking control of your health as much as is possible, if it's in the area of relationships, and you say, man, I've made a royal mess of my life, does that mean now God is against me because I've done the wrong thing or I've hurt someone or I've made unwise choices? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God, through Jesus, demonstrates with his life, as he did in the Gospels we read, everyone that religious people or the Pharisees pointed at and went, look at these sinners, look at these people who have made a mess of their life. Jesus would always go into those scenarios and he would actually change the story and let these people know that needed to start again. God is with you. Shalom. May the peace and the wholeness of God be on your life, in your life, and may you go to start a new life God's good way. God is with you. So rejoice, be free. You don't have to start again with a heavy heart. You can start again knowing that God is with you. But how we start in the way of God will make a big difference to what we reap in our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about over these coming weeks. I want to read to you from the Message version, Romans chapter 8. And as I read this to you, I want you to listen to the words of life as the Apostle Paul explains in this letter to the church in Rome that I believe captures the fact that God is committed to us as we start again. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. Notice the metaphor in there? Something new is going to begin. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored, speaking of Jesus. We see the original and the intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, or what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. And after he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. How good is this? I mean, I hope you're breathing this in and going, oh, wow, this is encouraging. There's a little bit to this, so I want you to just hang with me for a moment. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. And then he finishes this section by saying, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Woo! How good is that? Now, you should go home and read that 40 times. Because sometimes we need to change the patterns of our thinking to embrace the truth and the liberating words of life that God has for us to just live by. Now, I finished this morning by saying this. Time is on your side. Time is your friend. If you journey with God as you start again, God will work through time because time actually forms us, allows us to be humble, allows the emotion to settle. If we race ahead in excitement of starting again and we just repeat the same old things, we're not wise and we're not following in the ways of God's wisdom. Moses is a great example of this. He needed to start again after being at the heights of Israel in Egypt, and then he ended up in the desert for years and years and years. Now, sometimes we end up in the desert for years and years and years, but then other times we end up waiting for a shorter period of time. But it's that period of time while we wait that God begins to do the renewing, restoring, healing work that gets us ready for the next thing that we are to partake in with his blessing and with his favor on our lives. Time is on our side. Humility will be our mark. And redemption is God's good work. Somebody here needs to hear that today. Somebody needs to know it's going to be okay. Slow down. Allow God's work in your life to take place. You will be humbled as you journey and you think through and you reflect and you make new decisions and choices for your future ahead. As Romans 8:28, as I just read, summarized again, says in the NIV, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. When we talk about God working, we're talking about God redeeming, God restoring, God making new, God setting free. That's a very, very good thing. So over the coming weeks, here's what's going to happen. We're going to talk the next 3 weeks around these ideas, how we develop a plan for starting in our life. Because at some point, if you go, well, I don't need to start anything now. This is all good. This isn't really relevant to me. Oh, you will be surprised how all of a sudden, just because of today's message, tomorrow you go, how funny. I didn't realize I was starting something new today. Whoops. It may be a little tiny thing or it may be a significant thing in your life. Circumstances around us, other people's actions, and sometimes our own choices can bring about and change situations in a moment that mean we're going to need a new start. So when we do, we want to make sure that we've got a plan that honors God. And that plan we're going to talk about in the coming weeks around what it means to own the situation, rethink it, and release it so that we're free from our past to walk into the future that God has for us. Let me finish this morning by saying this. It's these words of life that liberated me and set me free from a few different experiences in my life where I experienced significant pain and loss that meant I was going to start again. And starting again in the areas that I've shared in the past here were actually very, very scary. And when you're scared, sometimes you want to feel that fear with something that resolves that fear in the moment. And as a result, we can make decisions and choices, and we can gravitate towards things that actually try to soothe the fear or that feeling overwhelmed in our lives. And those things never serve us well. But because of the foundation that was established in my life and good friends and community, I was able to walk a path that was a difficult path, where time felt like it was against me, but it was actually serving me as I allowed God to heal and restore and set me up for a beautiful new future that God had already ordained as good and wonderful and blessed, because God is always into restoration and renewal and redemption and letting people have a fresh start. But to avoid making the same mistakes or to avoid walking into the same pain again, he says, follow me closely and allow me to guide you on the best pathway of your life, as Psalm 32 says.